It's Tuesday, 4th of January. It's time to get your grin on with the Grincast. Here to discuss the past. You may remember me saying that last year. This isn't a repeat. Joining me are Artura.
Hello, everyone.
Nox.
Hello.
And Prince.
Hi.
We're kicking off 2022 with a look back at the past because, well, last year we did the Game of the Year of the year 2000. So I thought, well, nothing's happened yet this year, so let's talk about Game of the Year 2001. We only have the main Game of the Year category this year, well, for 2001, because it's just a lot of extra hassle and makes for a lot longer episode of the podcast if we have 14 categories. But yeah, I asked everyone last week to nominate some games from 2001, and, well, in alphabetical order, this is the list that we have. Crash Bandicoot, Wrath of Cortex, Dark Cloud, Devil May Cry, Final Fantasy X, Golden Sun, Gothic, Grand Theft Auto 3, Halo Combat Evolved, Ico, Jak and Daxter, The Precursor Legacy, Luigi's Mansion, Max Payne, Mega Man Battle Network, Metal Gear Solid 2, Sons of Liberty, Red Faction, Resident Evil Code Veronica X, Shenmue 2, Silent Hill 2, Sonic Adventure 2, Soul Reaver 2, all these S's that are 2, Super Monkey Ball, and Super Smash Bros. Melee.
Wasn't Melee the second entrance in the Super Smash Bros. Series as well?
I believe it was, so. Yeah.
That was so many sequels. Oh my god.
Yeah, honestly, this is such a good list. I feel like 2001 is one of the, like, first truly, like, amazing years we get in gaming. Because the year before, like, 2000 is when the PS2 launches. And we get a lot of killer, like, titles. But I feel like 2001, people on all platforms were figuring out, like, what they could finally do with these consoles, the power. And we started getting the most killer games. Oh, my God. And then, like, for the next 6 years, we get so many good games. Oh my god, this is the start of the golden era. Oh.
Tune into Prince's PlayStation 2 podcast coming soon.
I'm sorry! Oh my gosh, I have so many emotions about, like, this era of gaming. I'm sorry.
That's fine. Are there any on that list that people don't think should be Game of the Year nominees? Personally, Soul Reaver 2 wasn't as good as Soul Reaver. And if it was the original Soul Reaver, then yeah, I'd say Game of the Year contender, but not Soul Reaver 2.
I'd just like to say that I'm really glad Luigi's Mansion made it to the list.
I was about to say Luigi's Mansion don't belong on the list.
Oh! Well, I mean, I'm glad with the nomination at least then. Why does Luigi's Mansion not belong?
It's not that good.
Really? Oh my gosh. I honestly, like, I like Luigi's Mansion, and this is gonna sound like bitch who's only ever played Resident Evil, like, comparing things, but I always felt like this was kind of like Nintendo's weird answer to Resident Evil with, like, the way the mansion is and stuff like that. Like, oh, I love that game.
You're just addicted to Resident Evil, admit it.
Oh, I know. Exactly. I'm like, bitch who's only ever seen Resident Evil. Ah, this reminds me of Resident Evil. But, like, I'm just, like, for me, and I know it's the lamest thing ever, like, the mansion itself, I love the way it's designed, and it gives me those feels for a different game I like, which isn't necessarily fair, but do I love it. Luigi's Mansion.
I mean, I'm right up there. I mean, my name is Spooky One. Anything Halloween, anything ghostly, the mansion, the music, the atmosphere of the game, everything. I love that game.
Okay, well, we'll put it provisionally on the list of games to consider.
I could probably nominate one, two of the top 10, but I can't really argue against some of these others.
Oh, I know. That's the hard part.
Yeah, I feel like Final Fantasy X really deserves, like, way up in the list. Because of how wonderful it was.
Honestly, like, for me, and this is putting my opinion out here so early, so I shouldn't be, but for me, Game of the Year honestly boils down to either Final Fantasy X or Silent Hill 2 for me, like, personally at the moment. Because, like, first of all, both of those games are, like, game-changing. But they're also the ones I feel like that push the graphical limitations of the PS2 the furthest. They're the, like, two games that are like, hey, these people are real, and it's amazing. Oh, my God. I remember Final Fantasy X was, like, the first game I ever saw with, like, real-looking people. And obviously, it didn't age the best in that regard. Silent Hill 2 aged wonderfully in that regard. But, like, there's still, like, it's amazing. It made me feel so many things back then. I was like, wow, like, they're real. I mean, they weren't, but they felt like it.
No, and honestly, I can argue that Final Fantasy X is still pretty to this day. Like, some of the cutscenes are gorgeous.
The HD remaster, oh.
Yeah, no, Arturo and I had to play what's the name of the one that you like with the woman that shoots a lot?
Tomb Raider.
When we had to play the Tomb Raider, the original Tomb Raider, and we went to, like, research about all the other games that came around that era. I don't know if this is the same Final Fantasy. I mean, not Final Fantasy, the same Resident Evil. But talking graphically speaking, I think it did do quite a bit as well. Or was it uglier?
No, it was prettier.
It was prettier, right?
I don't remember.
It was much prettier.
It was a Dreamcast game, so it should be prettier.
Code Veronica X is like the redone. So that's when they released it to other platforms that were like kind of stronger than the Dreamcast, the like next year. It's like, you know, Persona 5 and Persona 5 Royal? That's what Code Veronica X is. They like redid stuff and added new cutscenes, and it looks great. Oh.
Ah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Halo. I've recently played the Anniversary Edition thanks to the Halo Master Chief Collection. I played it back in the day when it first came out. I remember enjoying it more when it first came out because it hasn't aged well. But back in the day, I think it should have been a contender for Game of the Year.
Oh, absolutely. It's revolutionary.
It had an effect on the genre the latest one is still using stuff that was first appeared in it.
Yeah. I agree with, you know, I think it's a contender. It's definitely, like, even if it doesn't age the best, if you look at it from then, I think the same thing you could say about Gothic, to be honest, is it has aged very poorly, in my opinion. But, God, it is revolutionary in the way it is an RPG. So, like, I think those two are both, like, even though they're not aged the best, they are still worthy of, you know, possibly a place. Like, if anyone has strong feelings for them, of course.
Understandable. I feel like Smash Bros. Melee also deserves to be up there.
Oh, man,
given
that... I think revolutionized the fighting genre.
Yeah, and it was one of the first... Like, I heard from I've heard of Smash Bros. With Melee. I actually wasn't aware Super Smash Bros. Existed until way later on. So it clearly did wonderful among its other iterations.
It's also still in the some fighting tournaments. They still use Melee rather than one of the others.
It's still a wonderful game. Like, sure, I don't play it anymore in comparison to all of the other ones, like Ultimate and Brawl, but it's simply because there's a lot of characters I like on those, not because Smash Bros. Melee was bad for what it was. It actually was amazing to be able to play as different characters and, you know, fight among different genres. I don't know, it was like the first time I ever experienced... What's the name of that? Crossovers.
Oh, yeah. I remember, like, when I was a kid, my mind was blown with the idea of a crossover. And, I mean, I kept playing it, even though my brother kept beating me and beating me at it.
I was like, Pikachu against Link? I'm in.
Yep.
I'd like Sonic Adventure 2 to be on the list, because it was the last good 3D Sonic game.
I agree with the first half of that statement. Admittedly, I'm a little partial to further Sonic games. I like Sonic games a lot, even when they're bad.
I like Sonic games, but...
I agree that it should be on the list, yes. I support that.
you got to play as Sonic and... Well, the good guys and the bad guys in an intertwining story. And the Chao Garden. was such a big thing.
Oh, I love the Jow Garden. Oh my god.
Every time a Sonic game is announced, Sonic fans are asking, does it have Jow Garden?
Well, honestly, also going into, like, on a different level, the music in that game, like, I have the whole soundtrack on my Spotify, like, at the moment, like, still, like, it hits. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Especially the Knuckles raps. Oh my god. And Aquatic Mine. Oh my god, Dive Into the Mellow. Oh, like, it's such a killer game in general, I feel like, but the soundtrack also just, oh, transcends.
And it was sponsored by sneakers.
Yeah. That's the biggest reason to put it up there.
Right there.
I feel like Devil May Cry deserves a spot on
is
the
it,
top wait, 10.
Is it the main, the first one?
Yes, it's the first one.
Oh, yeah. I thought it was awesome when I played it, and like all the different weapons you could use. The music was amazing. I didn't care much for the story because I was a kid. I just wanted to shoot things.
I mean, the story is kind of like, and I'm saying this is like a person who loves Devil May Cry, is the story is a little lackluster compared to literally everything else in the game. Not saying it's not good, but like, everything else in the game's amazing. Like, I love Devil May Cry. I think it does deserve to be on the list.
I agree.
My counter argument is the first boss is a lava tarantula.
Oh my god. That's the hardest boss too. Like, it's so funny. It's such a hard fucking boss. Oh my god.
Are we going, like, back to the entire Dilophosaurus problem again?
I'm uneasy about spiders.
Are you now?
That's got to be rough, like, in general, because that, oh, dang.
Oh. But there's three of you saying it should be on the list. I suppose we'll move it to the contenders column.
It's just really, like, a fun game, to be honest, if you get past that. And have you, like, you've played it going up to that, yeah? Like, shooting puppets and stuff, or no?
Yeah, I played it up to when it chases you down the stairs, and then eventually I managed to get past that section because I couldn't for such a long time.
I know.
And then you got to face him again, and then I don't remember anything after that.
Okay, well, what do you think of the game, like, from that, like, stuff? Like, up to there.
Up to that bit, yeah, it's pretty fun.
You don't remember because of the trauma walls he put between you and that situation? I kind of want to hear arguments for Super Monkey Ball, like, yeah.
See, I have mixed feelings. I love me some Super Monkey Ball, but I'm also like, is it truly a contender compared to some of these games?
Compared to the rest of the list, no.
So heartbreaking. Maybe like the Wii version someday. Buy a Super Monkey Ball.
I don't even know it. I saw it a lot as a kid, but I never got to actually play it, so I have no idea for this one.
They just did a 20th anniversary edition release, I believe. I mean, I know because I own it, but like...
I believe.
It's got levels from 4, 5 of the games.
And then you could also be other Sega characters, which I think is like kind of nice, to be honest. Like,
what even is it about? Like, is it just like racing or something?
Yeah, it's just monkeys in balls and the environment. You're trying to get like the monkey into the hole, kind of like... I don't know how to explain anything like it, actually, now that I think about it. But it's interesting because once you realize, like, the trick to the game is that the environment is the thing that's mostly moving, not the ball. Like, you're moving the environment. It's very interesting, to be honest. Like, it's... I don't know. Like, you should definitely try it out. I don't think it should be Game of the Year, though, so that sucks. But you should try it out just because it's fun and a little frustrating. And if you were looking for, like, a cheap PlayStation knockoff, there's, like, Super Hamster Ball.
Oh my gosh, I've heard of that one.
Oh, I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, it's on, when I had PlayStation Now, it was one of the, like, games that was on there, because there's not that many good games on there, to be honest. But it was fun, because it was essentially the same thing, but hamsters, and it's a good core game.
Did you just say horror or core?
Core. I'm sorry.
All right, I'm going to hear arguments for Silent Hill 2 because I'm assuming it's going to make it top
10. Oh my god, I love me some Silent Hill 2. Oh god, this is... Join me on my Silent Hill 2 podcast. No. Fuck. Where do I start with this game? Give me 1 second. I'm sorry.
I believe critically it is one of the best received Silent Hill games.
It is the best received Silent Hill game. It's actually one of the more like well received PlayStation games of like all time, which I really appreciate. But fuck, it is an experience. Let's start off with that. I don't want to spoil it because you like, have you played it? Wait, has everybody know, like, what's the ratio here on who's played what? What can I talk about now?
It's okay for spoilers. I don't mind because I don't think I would like the Silent Hill games, unfortunately.
That's valid. Ace, what's your situation on this one?
I played a demo of the first one, got scared, and turned it off.
I am the only one who knows the true beauty. First of all, I actually, like, I realize it's kind of like a scary series, quote unquote. Like, it's known for being a horror series. The second game is a lot more toned down on that, and it's more tonal as a whole. It's more about the atmosphere, and it's more about freaking you out in a way that, like, the game doesn't do at all. Like, you are more afraid of the unknown than you are of monsters or anything. In fact, there isn't really a lot of combat. That's the interesting thing about it. There is combat, but it's mainly just hitting things that are, like, mind manifestations, essentially, with a stick every once in a while, but there's so many unlocked doors and locked doors. There's mostly locked doors. This is a game of locked doors. Oh my God. This is like this. It's a town of fog. It's crazy. Like, the idea is to explore and the idea is the experience. Cause you're James Sunderland and you go to Silent Hill because you get a letter from your wife, Mary, who died of a terminal illness 3 years before. And she's telling you to come to Silent Hill. And he goes because he cares about nothing else but her. And it's so interesting watching this madman go on this journey. And I think one of the most telling things about Silent Hill 2 is that nothing really attacks you for the...
It's all psychological.
Yes, exactly. There's noise, there's like atmosphere for the first walk, the first 20 minutes of the game. In fact, there's not a single monster in this entire game until this cutscene that shows you the first monster in this game. But it's still freaky, and yet you still have to go. You go forward, and it always feels like there's something watching you, there's something behind you. And beyond that, then it goes into James' emotional and personal story and his relationship with his wife, Maria. Or Mary, I mean, and then there's Maria, who's the manifestation of his wife. Like, there's so much shit in this game. It's amazing and psychological, and you almost forget it's a horror game. Like, I don't like horror games that much. For someone who loves horror games, I hate horror games. I love horror games that tell a true story, though. And this is such, like, you are James, and you are a weak everyman going against the world for his wife. But also having to discover, like, horrible truths and going through things. And it's, oh. And also, graphically, it's amazing. Graphically, like, oh, there was nothing like it. Except for, like, the only contender, like I said, graphically for me, like, graphically was Final Fantasy X, which was the first, like, realistic-looking one. And then after that comes Silent Hill 2, which just looks like Google screenshots of that shit, because it's beautiful. Oh! Sorry.
Honestly, you just sold me on the game. Because, like, that's a really interesting thing. The fact that they play with you psychologically. Like, it reminds me of that movie. What's the name? The one that we watched, that we got obsessed with. That you don't actually see the guy, the monster. It's just all through, like, cameras.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paranormal
Activity. That's insane. That the fact that they do that is crazy. Because that's really just what fear is. It's all in your head. And I love that you go on about the psychological things and the relationships. Arturo and I are also super suckers for all that type of stuff.
Oh, you should honestly, it's the weakest thing about this game is the combat, because it is not a combat heavy game, and the combat is kind of purposely slow and not a lot, because this isn't a video game. This is a human's experience, even though it is a video game. So that, like, I feel like for someone who is afraid of horror games, so that almost adds to it. Like, it's not going to be this game that, like, jumps out at you. There's not really jump scares. It's nice. There's a lot of reading. You read everything you find. Like, listen to the things. There's a lot of exploration in the game. That's also what I like about it. Is it's a full town. And the town itself is actually based on San Bruno, California. So it's all real places you can visit in real life, which I think is really fucking cool. Those places are still there for a lot of them.
Well planned, though.
It's on the list. It's on the list. Let's.
Sorry.
Can we just talk about the Prince paradox now? I love horror games, but I hate horror games.
Yeah, well, I only love good horror games. And when I say that, I don't mean like necessarily good horror, but like true, like something that captivates me beyond the horror, something that keeps me coming. Like, I love Resident Evil for the characters, for example, not for like anything else. And that's why I always come back to it, even when it's bad.
All right. Okay. Now,
Crash Bandicoot Wrath of Cortex. Is that better than any of the other Crash Bandicoot games?
It hurts my heart because it's my favorite Crash Bandicoot game, but like, other than having cooler levels and environments, no, it's nothing special.
Audibly weeps.
I know.
I know. Sorry. I love that game, actually. It was Wrath of Cortex, I think, was my first game, but this is Wrath of Cortex. Sorry, I got confused with Cortex Strikes Back. Cortex Strikes Back, I think, was my first one, but Wrath of Cortex, like, was the first one I beat in a day. It was the first one I ever set out to, like, complete everything on, and I truly fell in love with that game. But also, it's not better than a lot of these games, especially, like, the other platformer, I would say, on here, which is Jak and Daxter, which is just better by miles.
Can we just talk about Grand Theft Auto 3? Because I'm assuming someone's going to win in the top 10.
It's Gores.
And Gores.
Hey!
You made it. Hey. We're just over halfway through the list when you joined, so we're whittling things down.
We were about to talk about Grand Theft Auto 3. So, do you have anything to say about that?
You made quite the entrance with that.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Well, that was insightful.
Oh my gosh.
GTA 3 was definitely it changed how people saw violence in video games because they started trying to make laws against Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
It's because of this game that this happened?
I thought it was because of Mortal Kombat.
No, they'd always been against violence in video games, but
the only time when you
started to be able to, well, one thing that people are very vocal about is you can pick up a prostitute and then sleep with them, regain your health, and then they'll get out the car, then you can kill them and take your money back.
Jesus Christ. Yeah, I was going to say that I'm assuming that the reason it caused so much controversy is because Mortal Kombat's at least a little, like, fantastical, but this one's a little on the nose with the whole, like, you know, IRL danger.
See, I always feel weird about it, though, because, I mean, I know I'm the minority in this one. With these games, especially, I've never actually gone out and done any of that stuff. In fact, I usually don't even do the storyline, because I'm very bad at Grand Theft Auto games, because what I do is I get in the car, and I start driving around with the radio. I even follow the traffic laws. I just drive and have a good time. Oh, my, even with, especially with the new one, new, quote-unquote, with 5, like, because that shit, I grew up down in that area, like, the real-life version of it, like, so it's mind-blowing the way they recreated it so accurately. So I just drive around.
Grand Theft law-abiding citizen.
Yeah!
I think we played it like that, too.
Cars, but, like, everything else.
It's just that who doesn't play those games like that, really?
Especially when you're a kid, you don't know how to drive, and you really want to drive.
Exactly. Like, it's sometimes you just want to, like, that's the last thing on your mind, like, is murdering people, apparently.
You red know? Light, I stopped, so badass.
Yeah.
Oh no, I watched this person play San Andreas, and San Andreas in the radio has Killing in the Name by Rage Against the Machine. and they waited to that point. They were at a green light where they were stopped, and they waited till the song was getting to the point where it's like, fuck you, I won't do what you tell me. And they started going when it turned to, like, the red light. Like, they literally waited at the green light and for that song to hit to just start driving at the red light, and it cracked me up. Like, it's so fucking whimsical, because it's the shit that you wish you could do in real life, kind of.
Well, like, I've never wished that, but...
Murder a prostitute and take the money back, apparently.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's
all there, yeah. That's always bugged me, that that's an example people go to. Yes, it's something you can do. They don't bring up the fact that you can get a rocket launcher with infinite ammo and just blast everything.
Well, you know what... What my little sister does with her friends when they play Grand Theft Auto is, and this is something
I really don't
very,
like this comparison already with the prostitute.
Such a fucking praise, by the way, for the way they do things, because they do animate NPCs differently on whether they're smoking like a joint or smoking a cigarette. So her and her friends walk up and shoot everyone smoking cigarettes, but leave everybody smoking joints alone. But it's also like the fact that they put in the thoughts and efforts to animate those differently blows my mind. Like, those NPCs are basically real. Like, way better than Cyberpunk.
I don't remember that in GTA 3.
I don't know if that's in GTA 3.
No, is we're it? Talking about GTA 3 though, aren't we?
I know, but is it in GTA 3? Do they smoke? Do NPCs smoke yet?
I mean, probably.
Then we should look.
Everyone, dig out your copy of Grand Theft Auto 3 and play it for 3 hours and then come back to the podcast.
I actually found an original PC copy at the Goodwill, like, last week.
You know, there's something that makes me wonder while recording this episode is, we keep talking about these games that became huge turning points, but back then they didn't know how many of these from our game of the year that we made.
Are we going to be like, holy crap?
Are doing the exact same thing and we're unaware.
The revolution, I don't think so, though, unfortunately.
Like, a lot of people
think,
like, knew it would change something. Because, I mean, A, politicians were mad about it. But B, I remember fucking people were hyped about Grand Theft Auto 3. Like, people thought this game was fucking awesome. They'd be like, oh, kids shouldn't play it. And then this shitty GameStop employee would fucking sell it to the adults. Sorry. But, like, there was hype about it.
Yeah, because, like, unfortunately, I don't think there's much more to revolutionize in gaming, I think.
Yeah.
As opposed to back then where everything was, like, super bad.
You say that, but the Battle Royale genre is pretty new.
That's true. I mean, I feel like with internet, more things are to come, to be honest, because that is something we would have never had, obviously, before online multiplayer on top of it, like, right there. Because no one was ever going to plug 50 controllers in. It's fucking awesome. So I guess, like, with as technology as a whole advances, video games are sure to advance.
Now, back on topic, because I can hear Ace fuming in the background.
Sorry.
Which of, like, so who is on the nominated Grand Theft Auto 3?
Ace.
I think I put it on there. I just went through the list and just put on, like, the big games before I opened up to you guys to nominate.
Honestly, I did like the exact same thing as that. So if it wasn't you, it was me, but I feel like it was already on there.
Like, the games had to be on multiple discs or like in a big box.
Do you mean floppy disks?
I've lost.
Well, you said that she puts, like, big games on me, so...
Let's talk about, okay, who nominated what out of emotional
nostalgia
connection? Yeah, nostalgia. No.
Because the problem is that nostalgia is quite strong.
Yeah.
I feel like Dark Cloud probably shouldn't be on this list. I put it on this list, and I do like this game, even though it's incredibly... I once saw someone call it the Dark Souls of gaming, of PS2, I mean, the Dark Souls of the PS2 era. And, like, you wouldn't expect it, but it fucking is. But with that said, with a PS4, I platinumed this game. And I had it back when I was a kid, too, on my original PS2. Like, it's something that kept my, it kept my attention, even though you'd think it wouldn't. Like, it's so odd.
You've got to rebuild this town after it gets destroyed by a genie, and to find the parts for the buildings or the buildings or something, you have to go into a randomly created, procedurally generated dungeon.
Yeah.
And you have to work your way through it, return to the start, and then go through it again, and et cetera.
And you don't level up or anything. Your strength relies entirely on weapons, and weapons can break. So... shit's fucking rough sometimes. Oh my god, I
know that there's a lot of people who look back at it fondly because it was not many games had you going into a dungeon so you could rebuild a town that a genie had destroyed.
Yeah, no, it's really weird too because the town, you're supposed to build the town a certain way. You have to actually talk to everybody in the town, like once you get their houses back and place them down the way you want. You have to then talk to everybody and they'll be like, my house used to be here. And they'll give you like hints, like the stupid math problems they would give you in like third grade. it's amazing. And then you have to rebuild the town correctly.
My house was traveling 500 miles an hour on a train going south.
So then how many apples did I have? And I'm like, wait, what? All right, how about, I know someone's going to be really opinionated about this one, but I have no idea who, but Resident Evil Code, Veronica X?
You know, I love it. I love Code Veronica, actually. I mean, once again, this goes back to me loving Resident Evil games. But I will say this about Code Veronica. I don't know how well it did for the 2000 year. I would have went so hard if this was the year 2000, it was the original. Even though I do think X is way better. Not everyone does, but I do. But I can't say it rightfully deserves a place just because it is technically a remaster type thing. Like, it's what the hell do you call that? Like, it's an enhanced edition almost, except for they really did remake, like, it's weird. It feels too soon to call it a remake, but I guess it's technically a fucking remake.
Okay. What about you, Gors? What did you nominate here that you want to speak about?
Eco was definitely one of the things I put on there. Gothic, but that probably doesn't belong here. Max Payne, I put that there. Shenmue 2. That's...
What about you, Ace? Which ones do you want as well that you nominated out of emotional interest?
Emotional would have been Mega Man Battle Network. Yeah, I think that's the only one I nominated purely on because I like that series. But Golden Sun and Red Faction are both highly acclaimed. Golden Sun, people are constantly saying, well, asking for a new Golden Sun or a remake of Golden Sun. And Red Faction... it's just so technically amazing to me still. Like, you could either follow a tunnel around or just blast a hole through the wall using rockets and grenades and whatever to get through to the other side instead of going around.
So it basically gave you a lot of options on what to do.
Yeah, with the destructible environments. It's even these days, it's such a rare thing to happen in games.
Well, for a game that was released 20 years ago, that's quite a good feat already.
Yeah, because see, that's the thing. I just realized it's really easy. Like, I see where you're going to go through, like, the whole nostalgia thing. That's a good point. I think we should be focusing on things that actually brought something to the table, whether it bettered graphics or it bettered gameplay. And I can totally see now why Ace was like, really, Luigi's Mansion?
Yeah. It brought vacuum cleaners to get.
Well, what about, wait, why did you disqualify Mega Man Battle Network there?
Because it, I mean, I wrote an article about which is the best Mega Man Battle Network game, and it wasn't at the top.
You know, that's kind of valid, but was it, like, would you say it's better than these games, though? Because sometimes the best game isn't the best sequel.
Especially because it's right now, like, in contest with these current games. Because if we played it against other games of its own series, I think that would be kind of unfair to it.
Compared to these other games, I wouldn't put it above these other games, especially Golden Sun, because that is a really good JRPG. Even if you're not a fan of JRPGs, because at the time I wasn't, and I loved that game.
Fair, very fair.
And given those arguments, maybe we should disqualify Luigi's Mansion?
Yeah, because unfortunately I don't think it actually bettered anything the game is already... it has pretty graphics, but I don't really know many of these games' as graphics anyway. But that's like the only thing I can see that would actually be anything good, well done or bettered.
I'd argue take out Luigi's Mansion, put Golden Sun in along with Red Faction because of the innovation with destructible environments.
I agree.
Okay.
I saw anime of Mega Man Battle Network when I was but a little boy. I saw it.
Was it good?
I'll find out by
subscribing to the PAL Anime Lounge podcast and we might cover it.
Oh my gosh.
All right, Goris, I want to hear from you. We have 8 contenders currently, and, well, we've gotten to speak quite a bit about them. I would like to hear what you think, which ones deserve to be in the top 10, which ones you want to disqualify and all that.
Well, I think Eco, I would easily put it like number 1, because it's a perfect example of using video game to tell a story. It's like idea behind that game. One of the ideas behind the game was to design a game by subtraction, by removing elements that are usually a given for a video game. Like they don't have heads up display at all. They have very little music, very little dialogue, almost no cutscenes. The whole story is told through the environment, through the way the environments look, the level design, the AI, the way you interact with the characters, which is like you have mainly just 2 characters, and then you have some enemies. And you also have a final boss, so you don't have many characters. The most of the game is you free a girl from a castle, and you're trying to get her out by leading her by the hand. And yeah, she doesn't speak the main character's language, so there's I'm getting a bit lost.
So far from what you said, I kind of like it because they were trying something that apparently hadn't been tried. Because like nowadays, there's a lot of things that don't have dialogue and stuff. But for that era, that sounds pretty amazing. And I like the usage of the whole different language barrier. That's pretty interesting to me.
Me too. Honestly, the concept as a whole, I feel like is really beautiful when it comes to Ico.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of the way they stripped things and try to make a minimalistic game.
It's if you... I mean, the game is actually like pretty accessible to anyone. It's a cinematic platformer basically, and everything is quite simple. The game is quite simple to control. There isn't any complex mechanics. And yeah, you can just focus on details, like even the camera, the way camera moves, the way the different angles that the developers set for you to look at. You can go down to that, and again, the minimalistic sound. So like there is a clear contrast between being inside the castle and outside. Like when you're outside, you hear the birds and it's bright. So it's like helps put you in the mindset of the character, and that you feel better outside. The outside was more welcoming, and inside the castle there's like an echo when you walk.
Immersive sound design.
That's a good point. I'm not sure how common that was back then, but that's huge.
Well, I said we can put Eco in, and I wanted to hear from Prince what you have to say about Jack and Daxter. Because yeah. you mentioned that you wanted to get rid of Crash Bandicoot because Jack and Daxter was better.
Yes, to be honest. Oh my gosh. I actually have been replaying Jack and Daxter, The Precursor Legacy, a lot lately. I have it on my PS4 because they remastered it. Because they remastered the Jack collection as a whole. Except for, I think there's a game missing. But, you know, I don't care. But The Precursor Legacy is still remains my favorite Jack game. I think it's the first game I ever 100%ed, like, without needing to. Because you can complete the game getting, I believe, around 73%-ish of the orbs. But, that was the first game, even though there wasn't rewards, there wasn't anything like that. And the cutscene is such... It purposely fucks with you. You get nothing out of doing it. But it's the first game I ever, like, truly 100%ed like that, like, out of wanting to. It's very fun. It's beautiful, actually, I will admit. It looks great. Some of the character designs I don't agree with. I'm like, that's kind of an ugly character. But the landscapes and the models themselves are really good looking. The game plays really smoothly, in my opinion, especially for a platformer at the time. It's just everything glides, basically. It's very nice. The areas, I will say, towards the end of the game, they get, there's one, when you get closer to the end of the game, you're going to get closer to the Citadel, which kind of plays a main key story element. So I can't say too much because spoilers, because I don't know who the fuck's played this game or not. But there's also, like, the Yellow Mage, and I think it's bullshit that, like, the Yellow Mage's hut is at, like, in the lava underneath the Citadel, or the Red Mage, or whatever fucking mage it was. Like, they get a little bullshitty towards the end, I won't lie. But everything else, like, the game is fun, it's beautiful. Yeah, the story's lackluster, but it has a lot of stuff to do. It's nice. Like, it's like they put everything into a game that you'd kind of want at the time. And when I actually looked up what these developers were doing, especially with the future games, that's exactly what they were fucking doing. But their response every time to people being like, that's not a good game strategy, was, well, it was fun, wasn't it? And I agree with that.
I honestly agree too, because if it's like, really, that's the entire point of gaming, isn't it? Just fun.
Exactly. Well, so also, you can collect stuff, so it's not like you're not getting anything out of it. But it was fun.
Does anyone have any, you know, counter arguments? Does anyone not like Jack and Daxter that has played it?
What's the sound?
It was the dog like last time.
Oh, yeah, the dog has a bad habit.
Like, it sounded clearly like a person snoring and, like who's being disrespectful right now?
Sorry, my wife fell asleep.
You're like, God damn it, no.
Does anyone have anything on the nominations they still want to argue for, or contenders that they want to argue against?
We have our 10 games. We have Final Fantasy X, Halo Combat Evolved, Super Smash Bros. Melee, Sonic Adventure 2, Devil May Cry, Silent Hill 2, Red Faction, Golden Sun, Ico, and Jack and Daxter Precursor Legacy.
All right.
Oh my god.
Good games.
I have an argument for putting Final Fantasy X probably in first place.
Oh, I was going to say the same thing.
I just feel like it's too monumental. It's the most known Final Fantasy game, and its graphical, you know, feats are amazing. Yeah. I just feel like of all the contenders, if any of them deserve first place, it should probably be Final Fantasy X.
Yeah, because literally even nowadays, it's still mentioned as one of the greatest games. And it, I don't know. I think it's huge. I want to play it still nowadays.
Oh, yeah. You know, I'm actually going to back that up for first place. Like, I feel bad jumping in, like, on it. But I also can't imagine a different game at my first. I feel like Final Fantasy X was fucking revolutionary. I played it as a kid. It was my third Final Fantasy game. But it was the first one. I remember being a little kid, and every time in the California desert, the rain, like, came in, big storms and stuff, I would pretend it was Sim, and I was, like, a summoner in training. And then, upon replaying it as an adult, So many things had happened since being a kid and doing dumb shit like that. But I had both, like, my father was unfortunately, like, abusive, and I had actually, I have a lot of issues with him, so I learned to hate my father. But I had also defected from my religion. I was raised Methodist, but I'm also very queer. And, you know, that's a no-no in Christianity. So I got to really experience, like, an odd thing playing Final Fantasy X as an adult, having experienced two things that, like, the two main characters of both X and X-2 go through. I was like, holy shit, this is real. Like, this isn't being a little kid and pretending it's, like, the storm coming in. This is real life. And it's amazing and beautiful. And also, graphically, for, like, that game takes, like, 80 hours to finish. Like, at least. So, like,
graphically... 60 hours of that is jumping over lightning bolts.
Yeah, and 8 hours of that is cutscenes.
And the rest of the time is just the Blitzball.
Yeah! I love the Blitzball tournament. But it's honestly such a... it's a fucking revolutionary game for me. It is probably my favorite Final Fantasy. Like, still. And it holds up so well. Like, the remasters and stuff. The fact that you can play them to this day. Like, they are every other normal game. And they feel like every other normal game. They hold up great. I'm saying they because I'm including 10-2. I shouldn't. 10 alone is still really great. I really love 10-2. A lot of people hate it. But 10 alone... is like almost universally agreed upon to be an amazing game. So yeah, I think it definitely deserves the first place. I love 10-2. It's like I like it more to be honest, but shh.
I also feel like probably for up next in second place might be Halo Combat Evolved, given it as Ace mentioned, it continues to a lot of the things that appeared in the game continue to be relevant throughout the upcoming Halo games, which I feel is, you know, like, if we're going to choose best games according to how they innovated and how great they did, it's important to keep in mind which ones of these are still relevant to this day.
Very good point.
See, I have a mix on this one. To be honest, I'm gonna disagree with you because I don't want that for number two, and I'm sorry. But, and I realize this is probably me fighting alone on this, so please argue with me. I love arguing. But I would personally rather put, like, Silent Hill 2 there just because I feel like I think it was graphically revolutionary, and it really was one of the few games that pushed the PS2 to limitations at the time, which I love, but I feel like we've never seen anything like it since, and that kind of, like, again, it's maybe didn't change the future, but it did do something no one's managed to ever be able to do before or after.
I have no arguments against that.
Me either.
Damn, I told y'all to argue with me.
They were really sound arguments, yeah. Damn it.
Plus, Halo Combat Evolved doesn't necessarily have to be second. Honestly, it can always be third, fourth, fifth.
I love arguing, believe me.
Yeah, but it's still
deserves it. What, for a second, someone argue with me, damn it.
You're wrong.
Why, Phil Gores?
I'm an adult.
I go for third.
Oh, damn, I guess I won.
I was gonna say a Melee for third.
I was gonna say the same because, I mean, it's still relevant. Sure, not Melee. I mean, it's still kind of relevant, but it's such a great, like, series thing that even it went up to, like, whatever, this last one, Ultimate.
And it continues to be used as a fighting game.
And everyone's obsessed with it.
I mean, that is me. True.
See,
I feel like the big argument there would be that it's still used in tournaments. Like, people do prefer it to Brawl, I believe. Which one was the one that was the Wii one? Brawl,
I think.
Yeah, like, people hated Brawl, and Melee was still the fucking, like, thing to go to this day. People play it. And I think that shows that it withstood a test of time, but it also is worthy. Like, it's literally competition worthy now.
Yeah, so I feel like that's a big argument for it to be in third place. And I think
For my
personal arguments here would be either Halo Combat Evolved or Ico.
Not Golden Sun?
Or Golden Sun, really.
Because, like, all the, you know, fans begging for a remake, the fact that it's a great JRPG, the fact that Ace said that even people who don't like JRPGs, and, like, it doesn't sound like a big feat, but isn't Final Fantasy technically that as well? So, like, it didn't get completely dwarfed by Final Fantasy.
What we should do is we should put Ace and Gores against each other for this right now. Fight. Fight.
Round
fight,
one.
Fight. Fight. Fight.
What's the argument?
It's Ico versus Golden Sun.
Golden Sun.
Oh, Ico goes in number one.
No, but you gotta come up with an art. Fight Ace. You gotta fight for Golden Sun.
I like how Ace is like, I'm the editor, and he just put Golden Sun in fourth, and he's like, screw you guys.
Ace, we're friends for a long time. Put Ico in number one.
You can't put it in number one. You're fighting for number four right now.
Okay, that's it. Now it goes in 11.
You wanted to have one so badly, let me give you two.
Ace, we're not gonna be friends anymore. I bought Aragami 2, by the way. I really did, like, last night.
Oh my god. Ace, I've yet to hear your personal argument against Gores.
Right. I can't believe that the editor can get bought out by Aragami.
I know.
Okay, so Ico at 4, Golden Sun at 5. We still have 5 more to rank.
I think Halo goes next.
I think Halo deserves to go next.
I agree with that.
Now just take Ico and put it number 1.
No. I think Devil May Cry deserves next. A solid 7.
Yeah, place. I agree.
But wasn't Red Faction the one that has the fully destructible environment?
I know, but Devil May Cry has Dante. He's so hot. It's like not even fair. No, but even beyond that, it's a really good fucking game, and the game environments kill me. But also, Ace, fight me on this. Go for Red Faction. I want to hear it.
No, I'm fine with Red Faction. Eight.
Okay.
Did you know that Devil May Cry was supposed to be Resident Evil 2 or 3?
Resident Evil 4, actually. But it's I actually have a theory with a lot of this stuff. Because fun
is
fact,
that why you're obsessed with it? God damn it!
Of course, oh, it's no, Resident Evil
no,
again.
No. I knew Dante before I knew Leon. Fun fact. But fuck, that's not the point. I find it really funny, actually, because 2 whole games came out of Resident Evil 4, which would be this in Haunting Ground, but I totally don't believe Capcom's bullshit, because at first they used to try and pretend Devil May Cry wasn't going to be Resident Evil 4 at all, which is bullshit, because look at the damn castle. It is, first of all, it's the exact same layout as the mansion in Resident Evil 1 Remake, and it's like, wow, that's lazy. But, like, just look at it in general, you could tell what it was clearly going to be. There's books you could fucking read. But Dante himself, like, they were like, no, he was originally going to be character Tony Redgrave. And I think in the second draft when they finally had to be like, oh, it's Devil May Cry now, yes? But I totally think Dante used to be Leon. If you look at, like, his fucking polygonal model versus, like, the PS1 Leon from, or, like, it's the same fucking guy. They just color swapped his hair, swear to God. Sorry, I have a whole theory about it.
It sounds possible.
No, yeah. And now for number 9 and 10?
I think... Actually, never mind. I have no opinion.
I have no opinion on these two.
Me either.
Honestly, this is kind of the same. They're both really good games, in my opinion, for different reasons. Ace, what's your opinion? Because you're the Sonic 2...
I prefer Sonic, not just because I prefer Sonic, but as I mentioned earlier, you get to play as the good guys and the bad guys in a story that winds around each other. You find out why people think Sonic did illegal things. You find out where Shadow came from, and
I love Shadow. Oh,
and Shadow was such an interesting character in that game and nowhere else.
No, don't be mean to him. I mean, you're kind of right, except for I love him, so stop.
And not only that, but you did tell us that Jack and Daxter had gone through some controversies, and it was some people said it wasn't much about.
It's literally they throw in like everything they felt was fun in there, and it does lead into some issues, especially in later titles. The first one skates by with a lot of stuff just because it's the first one, admittedly, but it is like. They made a game to be fun. They didn't make a game to be perfect. And I feel like a lot of the games on this list were made to be perfect. So I'm fine with it sitting at 10.
Okay, that sounds good. We've got our game of the year 2001.
Okay, the Game Green Game of the Year 2001. At number 10, we have Jak and Daxter, The Precursor Legacy. At number 9, Sonic Adventure 2. At 8, Red Faction. At 7, Devil May Cry. And at 6, Halo Combat Evolved. At number 5, we have Golden Sun. 4, Ico. 3, Super Smash Bros. Melee. At number 2, Silent Hill 2. And at number 1, Final Fantasy X.
That's a really good list, honestly. Like, this was a beautiful year in gaming.
It
oh
was.
My god, revolutionary, changed lives.
I was surprised how many games I played from that year. Like, I had
Me
no
too.
Idea. When I looked at the link to the wiki page, I was like, oh, I played this, and that, and this, and that.
Literally,
and,
I got and so excited because I actually played them.
And there's Snoopy Tennis that I didn't know existed. That's Snoopy playing tennis. That's revolutionary.
Someone
Mario ripped it off.
Tennis.
You're not playing tennis using Snoopy as a ball or something.
It's just Peanuts characters. Yeah, I don't know what it is, but I'm assuming.
Snoopy and Sonic at Olympic Games.
Right, well, thank you for joining me, Artura, Nox, Ghouls, and Prince.
Hey.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for having me. I was really happy to be able to talk about PS2 and other games, but mostly PS2 games.
Thank you for listening to the Greencast, and better yet, thank you for subscribing wherever you found this episode. You can find more from us on GameGrid.com, finding us on social media, or listening to the Pals Anime Lounge podcast. And until next time, game on.